Kishon Ramos and today's daf is Pesachim Daf Samach Hey. We are holding here on the bottom of Samach Dalet on the base. We have the tremendous chus of finishing the fifth parak of Maseches Pesachim. So we've been talking about this Mishnah. If you remember, it laid out basically the entire procedure for bringing the Korban Pesach, the whole schedule of what they would do on Erev Pesach. And one of the things they said was that they had this whole assembly line of Kohanim. And the last one would take the blood, would take one of the cups of blood in his hand, and he would sprinkle it and throw it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Mantana Pesach Bezrika. We're here again on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, about seven or eight lines up, right, by the two dots. Mantana Pesach Bezrika. How do you know that the Korban Pesach, you sprinkle the blood? And Rashi says the other option would be simply to place the cup against the wall and kind of pour it down nicely, what he calls Shficha Benachas. But how do you know that you do Zrika, that you sprinkle the blood, you throw the blood on the Mizbeach? So I'm Rav Chista, Rav Yosei Aglili, he hits Rav Yosei Aglili Shita. The Tanya of Glinda Braisa, right? Rav Yosei Aglili Omer, Estamam Tizrok, Al HaMizbeach, Vizchabam Taktir. Pasuk is talking about the Bechor. And the Gemara points out, if you notice, Damo lo Nemar, Ela Damam, Chalbo lo Nemar, Ela Chalbam. Right? The Pasuk is written in the plural. It doesn't say its blood or its fats that are brought on the Mizbeach. It's their blood and their fats. So what do you do with that? So limed al b'chor v'maaser v'pesach she'ein tu'unin matan damim ve'emurim l'gabei Mizbeach. That teaches us about those three korbanos, b'chor, maaser, and pesach, that you sprinkle the blood. Right? They have the similar procedures, right? You bring the emurim, you bring the fats on top of the Mizbeach. Or if you ever noticed in the korbanos that you say in the morning, right before Rabbi Yishmael, the last one is these three korbanos together, because they have similar halachos. Okay, so this is one of the sources that you know that they're grouped together. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yosi Aglili Shita. Minolin detunin yisod. How do you know that you sprinkle the blood towards the base of the mizbeach? I'm Rabbi Elazar. Asi Yizrika Yizrika Me Ola. It's Xer Shava from the Korban Ola. Ksivacha says by us, Es damam tizrok al mizbeach. Uksivasam, and it says by the Korban Olas, Vizarku b'nei Aharon ha-Kohanim estamo ala mizbeach saviv. Right? Ma ola tu'una yisod, af pesach nami tu'una yisod. Right? Just like the Korban Ola requires to be sprinkled at the bottom, so too the Korban Pesach, because this Gzera Shava says the word Zrika by both of them. Va'ola gufu min alam. So how do you know? Well, okay, that's great, but how do you know that the Korban Ola itself is sprinkled towards the bottom? So another pasuk, Amakra, el yisod mizbach ha'ola, right? You sprinkle towards the base of the Ola Mizbeach, right? Alma Ola Tuna Yisod, right? Apparently that's how you know that you sprinkle the blood of the Korban Ola towards the bottom. Okay, Yatztakat Rishona, right? We said that the first group went out, the second one came in, the second one went out, the third one came in. So Gemara says, Tana, we said, it was taught that he nekreis kasat lamas, that the third group of people to bring the Korban Pesach was called the lazy kat, the lazy group. Gemara says, one second, don't you remember yesterday that the reason we have three groups is because the Pasuk says, right, we have a Kahal, Adas, Yisrael, right, that Pasuk teaches me, right, Kahal, one, Adas, two, Yisrael, three, that we need three groups. So Gemara says, V'halo Saki, the Lavachi, right, it's impossible for you to not do it that way. You need to have three groups. My Havala Lemevad, what should they have done? Right, why is the third group called lazy, right? Well, so you need to have three groups. That's the Pasuk says. Skor says, yeah, okay, you need three groups, but you don't have to be in the third group. Right? You can determine, you can choose to be Zruzi, Magdim, and the Mitzvahs. You can get there earlier. Right? You don't have to be one of those people in the third group. Right? It's just like the classic Hashkavik question, right? Why does it matter if I'm a Tzaddik or a Rasha, if Mashiach is coming anyway, and Olam Haba, etc., etc.? Yeah, so Mashiach is coming. And they're going to be tzaddikim and rishayim in the world at that time, right? You can choose which group you want to be in, right? A person still has to, take care of himself. Person is still responsible for his own actions, because, he can determine where he's going to be. The same thing over here. Yes, there needs to be three groups, but that doesn't tell me that you have to be in the third group. And so my example wasn't so great, but Rebbe gives a couple examples to illustrate this exact point. Kidatanya, like I learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Efshel Olam below Bosem below Borsi. It's impossible for the world to be without perfume, spices, and without tanneries and hides, right? Again, to make skins and to make clothing, leather clothing out of animal skins. But Ashrei Mishum Nasu Basam, V'Oilo L'Mishum Nasu B'Borsi. Right, praiseworthy. It's better for Baruch Hashem for a person if he gets his parnasa through his nice smelling things, And oyvei, if a person gets to get his parnasa through borsi, through tanneries, right? Because that's, you know, you smell really bad, right? Again, you could have made, you know, that's not as good, I guess. Now the Gemara, then the Gemara, Rebbe gives another example, which is slightly controversial, but as you'll see in a second, it really shouldn't be. Ashri misha banav zuchar, and similarly, vi efshar laulam below zuchar melon kevos. And the world can't be without men versus women, right? There needs to be both men and women in the world. But ashri misha banav zucharim and oilo lemisha banav nekevos. And Baruch Hashem, it's better for a person who has children who are male, as opposed to oivei for a person who has children who are female. Now, obviously, you know, this is one of the Gemaras that get misinterpreted, and the people go crazy. How could the Gemara say this? The Gemara is sexist. The Gemara hates females. Rechma l'tzlan. So, obviously, the Gemara, that's not what the Gemara means. Inevitably, just to have this in your back pocket, whenever someone says that or makes some sort of accusation like that, there's a Gemara at the in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf on the base. It's one of the Gemaras quoted here on the side by the Mesoras Hashas. So the Gemara there talks about, has this phrase as well, and explains that it doesn't mean that, you know, men are better than women, etc., etc. It's just, no, when a person has daughters, the father worries about his daughters much more than he does about his sons. And if you've ever been blessed with daughters, so you know that this is 100% true, that the fathers are always worrying about the daughters. And the language in the Gemara is actually very interesting, that at every point in a girl's life, the father has a different worry, right? Whether the Gemara, you'll check it out on Kofam Abbas and Sanhedrin. When they're young, the father worries whether they get married. When they're married, he worries whether they have children. Once she's gotten older, the Gemara has an interesting line that he's concerned that maybe she'll be seduced by witchcraft and she'll start practicing witchcraft. Okay, I guess that was common back then. But it's not that it's better or worse. It's just that, you know, the person will worry less, the father will worry less, the parents will worry less about their sons than they will about their daughters. Okay, other ways to interpret, but that's, again, just a Gemara to have in your back pocket if someone ever makes that sort of ridiculous accusation. Okay, says the Gemara now. B'maisa b'chol, right, again, they said when this whole process, the whole, you know, first, second, third group, etc., that's what they did. During the weekday, and that was also Maisa B'Shabbos as well. That's what they did on Shabbos as well. Except, as the Mishnah said, that the Kohanim would rinse the floor on Shabbos of the Azara, and the Chachamim were not so happy with this. So Gemara says, Shalom Baratzon Man. Who was the one who was not happy with this procedure? Amar Rav Chisda, Shalom Baratzon Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eliezer who is not happy with this. Because the Chachamim say that's again, rinsing the floor or sweeping the floor is only the Rabbanan, and Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there are no Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash. But Mistama, the implication is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that washing the floor and sweeping the floor would be Asur D'Oraisa. So the question is, what is that? Where did you get that from? Right? Maihi. What's that din? So the Tanya Melon Din Abraisam. Echara Cholev, if a person milks an animal, that is an Isser of Mefarik, which is told of Dush. Hamechabet, someone who curdles milk. Again, that curdling milk it might be Borer or Bona, right? Making cheese is considered an issue of Bona. Hamechabet, and someone who presses the cheese together, that's also. It could be an issue of bona. Right, that's kegrogeres. And the minimum shear to be chayav for that is a grogeres. Hamachabet, someone who sweeps the floor. That's the one we're concerned with. Hamarabet, someone who sprinkles water over the floor to make sure the dust doesn't get dusty and the floor will be flat. Right, again, back then they had dirt floors in the house. Right, v'harode chalos dvash, and someone who takes out honeycombs from a beehive. Right, that's not an issue of bona. That's already what's it called? An issue of maybe kotzer or tolish. So either way, any of those items, b'shogeg b'shabbos chayiv chatos, right? If you do b'shogeg, you're chayiv karmen chatos, but hezi b'yontiv, and hezi b'yontiv lokez harbayim, if you do it on purpose, on yontiv, right? Again, yontiv less chamor than Shabbos, right? You only get malchus. This is Rabbi Elazar Shita, that all of these things are also midoraisa. So the one that concerns us is hamechabet, someone who sweeps the floor, or lays out, washes out the floor, sprinkles some water on the floor, so that's already... I guess that's Merabit, but someone who kind of takes care of, sweeps out the floor, that's an Isser D'Oraisa, and obviously all these Surim D'Oraisa applied in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim say, no, Echazel, Echazel, Eno, Ela, Mishum Shvus. All of these are only Asur Midir Rabbanan. As Rashi points out, it's not really all of these. Right? The Chachamim agree to the first three for milking an animal and making cheese. Right, that's definitely going to be dosh and bona, respectively, but they argue on the taking care of the floor and on the honeycombs. So that's the machlokes we're looking for between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. So Rav Ashi says, I feel tamer shelo baratzeh chacham. You can even say that, no, this is a Chachamim's shita, that it's actually also the Rabbanan. I in shvus with mikdash, don't we say there's no isur de rabbanan in the mikdash? So yeah, but Rabbi Nosson, he, this is Rabbi Nosson, she did the tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, shvus tzricha hitiru, shvus she'ena tzricha lo hitiru. When do we say in shvus with mikdash? That's only if they need to do the isur involved. Right, but if you don't need to do it, you don't need to sweep the floor, you don't need to wash the floor, right? Yeah, okay, there's a lot of blood, as we'll see in a second. That was a nice thing to see, but if you don't need to wash the floor, so that's not going to, you're not going to lift the rabbinic prohibition, right, the Isra de Rabbanan, because it's not something that was absolutely crucial for the Avoda. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda had said, they used to take, right, there used to be a lot of blood from all the korbanos, Korban Pesach on the floor, so they used to actually fill a cup from the floor, from the blood on the floor, and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. Tanya would learn a Breiser, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Kos Hayim Amalei Midam HaTarubas. They would fill, again, this cup of blood, of the mixed blood on the floor. Shem Yishavach Damash Elachat Mehem Nintzezem Achshiro, because, you know, if for whatever reason one of the Korbanos, right, again, you have a lot of Korbanos going to the Mizbeach, so for whatever reason one of them spilled out, so then you'll find that, okay, maybe, you know, we'll get some of that blood in this cup. Right? It's a mixture of all the bloods all over the place, so that will kind of take care of things and make sure that there was a sprinkling for that korban on the mizbeach. So as you might imagine, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, that's, what are you talking about? Right? First of all, we'll see a couple of questions on it. The first one is, v'halo lo miskabel b'kli, right? But blood that's spilled on the floor was not accepted, was not received, was not grabbed or gathered in a cup, right? The only blood that you sprinkle on the mizbeach is stuff that has been gathered, you know, in a kli sharis, right out after you shech the animal. The blood that's spilled on the floor, you're not allowed to use to sprinkle on the mizbeach. So how does that help? So the Gemara says, well, one second, how do you know that the blood that's all over the floor was never accepted in a kli sharis? Maybe it was, and then it spilled. So the Gemara says, Ela Hakei Kamar Leih. Now, this is the question that they really asked him. Shemelon is Kalo B'Kli. Maybe it wasn't accepted in a Kli Sharis, and then you can't sprinkle it. So Amar Lahen, Rabbi Yehuda said back to them, Afani Lo Amarti, Ein Hakanami. You're right. I only said this, Ela Shem is Kalo B'Kli. But that's only if it's been collected in a Kli, and then it fell. So the Gemara says, okay, Minayoda. Well, how do you know that the blood on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash was accepted in a Kli Sharis? So Rabbi Yehuda says, because Kohanim is reasoning, because Kohanim are careful, right? That we know, we have a cloud that says it all over the place, right? I mentioned already a couple times in the Masechta, that Kohanim, we can rely on the Kohanim who worked in the Beis HaMikdash to be careful and know all the details about the Avoda. So Gemara says, well, yeah, is reason, so that I'm mistapech. Well, if they're careful, so how did this blood spill out from the Kli Sharis, right, on the floor, right? I thought they were careful. So Gemara says, you're right. Agaz Rizu Sayu, Davdi Mishtapech. Because they're so excited and they're so careful and they're so, you know, doing what they're doing, maybe they'll be so excited to get into the Beis HaMikdash, to get it to the Mizbeach and spill it on the floor in their haste. The Gemara says another question. V'lo dam tamtzis murav bo. One second. There's two types of blood that comes out of an animal. There's dam that comes out right away. And then there's something called dam tansis, which comes out afterwards. And we know that the Gemara says in Zvachim that the blood that you need to sprinkle on the mizbeach is the blood that's called dam nefesh, the blood that's the life force, the life of the animal. That's the blood that comes out right away, is when the animal is shechted. So if you're telling me that all of this, right, in a chinami, that maybe it's blood that was accepted in kli sharis and it's spilled out, but lamaisa, most of the blood on the floor is going to be the after flow, if you will, of all the korban pesachs that are being shechted. So if when you pick up some blood from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, then you're going to have, let's say you get some of the blood that fell and spilled out of the kli sharis, but most of it is going to be Dam Tamsis, which is this afterflow, this after, you know, blood that, you know, kind of drained out of the animal afterwards. So meaning that that is not, that you're not allowed to sprinkle. That's not good for sprinkling on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda Tamei. So the Gemara says you're right because Rabbi Yehuda Shita is Damar Dam Tamsis Dam Aliyosu Dam Maaliyahu. No, because this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita that says you are allowed to sprinkle blood that kind of, you know, the after, whatever you call it, the blood that spilled out of the animal after it was shechted. The Tanya Glendon, I said that the Tansis Bazhara, Abu the Omer Meikaris, that the Isser of drinking blood, right? The Pasuk says, Ki Adamu Anefesh, you're not allowed to drink blood because blood is the life source of an animal. So that is Usser punishable by Karis. So the Tanakama holds that, yeah, it's only the life source, which blood is punishable by, if you drink it, is punishable by Karis. It's only the blood that comes out of the animal when it's just after it dies. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, any other blood that comes out of the animal afterwards is also included in the Isser and the punishment of Karis, because that's the same blood. Rabbi Yehuda makes no difference between the Dam HaNefesh and the Dam Tamsis that comes out afterwards. So the Gemara says, 1 second, I don't like that so much, because V'hamar Rabbi Elazar, Modi Rabbi Yehuda Litin Kapara, 1 second. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish between Dam HaNefesh and Dam Tamsis, the two types of blood, in terms of punishment. But he does agree, right, that in terms of kapara, in terms of sprinkling on the mizbeach, so then she'eno mechaper, that the dam tamsis does not work, does not help. Right, that sprinkling is ineffective. You're not going to be yotzei your korban if you sprinkle the dam tamsis on the mizbeach. Shinamar's pasuk says ki adam hu banefesh yichaper, because the blood is what atones, meaning the sprinkling of the blood, and that's the Gemara learns. Dam shehanefesh yotzei bo mechaper. It's only blood through with the life, or the life force, the nefesh, when the soul leaves the animal. That blood is what is mechaper for a person. But dam shein hanefesh yotzei bo, heinu mechaper. But the dam tamsis, the blood that comes out afterwards, does not help. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you could sprinkle some of this dam tamsis on his back? So the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, this is Rabbi Yehuda shita, but a different shita. The Amar, what does he say? Ein dam avatal dam. That, yeah, in a chinami, usually when you have 99% dam tamsis of one item and 1% of another item, there's something called bittel. The item is nullified. So here, when you have, let's say, 99% dam tamsis of this blood that seeped out afterwards, and maybe 1% of the blood that that was spilled out of the kli shareis and was not offered on the mizbeach, so you might think that would nullify it. So Rabbi Yehuda says no, that blood is not mevatel blood. That it's still 99% and 1%. It's not that the blood that you need to sprinkle has been batel to this majority blood that seeped out afterwards. It's still considered as if you have this 1% of blood that spilled out of the kli shareis, and therefore when you sprinkle, so then that is legitimate and that will help atone for the korban and make the korban good. Okay. Tanya will learn the Reisa. Along the same lines, Amr Lehen Rabbi Yehuda L'Chachamim, L'Devreichem, according to you, Chachamim, Lama Pekakin, Pokekin, Esa Azara. And if you're telling me that you don't wash the floor, right, and you don't take a kli sharis, right, and scoop up some of the blood that's on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach as like a, you know, an emergency, just in case some of the cups spilled and some of the blood spilled on the floor out of the kli sharis. So if you tell me that that's true, that you don't do this, lama pokin is hazara. Why do we learned that they used to stop up the azara and let the blood collect. Right? There used to be a hole in the wall of the azara that you would have all the blood, right? It'd be like a little channel there, like a little inlet in the floor, and all the blood would kind of, right, it was slightly slanted, and it would, all the blood would flow out and drain out of the azara. But on Korban on Erev Pesach, they would stop it up. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't let everything flow out. So if Rabbi Yehuda is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, makes a lot of sense, because then all the blood collects, then you can sprinkle some of that blood on the mizbeach, just in case any blood fell out of the kli shareis. But according to Chachamim, what's the point? Why would you do that? So the Gemara says, "Amrlo shvachu lebnei Aaron sheyelchu al." Ad arkovosehem bedam, because it was praiseworthy. It was good for the Kohanim to walk up until their knees in blood. Right? It was the Baruch Hashem that they were doing this even though the blood was so high, and then therefore, you know, the it looked good on the Kohanim's sake that they were just, you know, stepping through blood, right? You can imagine, right, the guy Havdil Elef Alfei Havdalos, the guy snuffling show, right, when there's 2 feet of snow. It's a praiseworthy thing. This guy is shoveling snow, even though there's 2 feet of snow outside. It's the same thing. The Kohanim are doing their job, even though there's blood everywhere. Right, Baruch Hashem, they're knee deep in blood, but they're still doing what they got to do. So the Gemara says, 1 second, v'kachayitz. But if you have blood on the floor everywhere, so that's a chatzitza. We know that the Kohanim have to walk barefoot. The avoda is posel if there's anything between their feet and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So if this blood is everywhere, it's a chatzitza. So Gemara says, lachu v'no chotzeitz. No, it was liquidy, and it doesn't that doesn't count as a chatzitza. Can it tanya like the reisa hadam ve'adio ve'chele ve'advash, right? You have blood or ink or milk or honey. Yevashim, if they're dry, then chotzin, that is a chatzitza. And then if you go to the mikveh with them on and etc., then it doesn't count, right? That's a chatzitza. Or really, more specifically, the Gemara Zvachim here is talking about whether it's a chetzitza between the Kohanim's feet and the floor. But lachem, but if it's wet, ain chotzin, then it's not considered to be a chetzitza. The Gemara says, va kama tvasi manayu. 1 second. Then, if that's true, the big day kahuna are going to get dirty. Right? The big day kahuna, beautiful begotten that the Kohanim wore, they're going to get dirty. And that doesn't work because of v'atan, you know. We learned it, right? So yeah, it should be Vatanya. Hayu begadav mitus tashtin, ve'avad avudaso psula. If a person's, if the Kohen's begadim were dirty and he does avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, it's possible, right? The Kohanim need to have pristine clothing. V'chitema demad l'lamanayhu. If you tell me that, well, okay, fine, maybe they just pick up the legs and walk, you know, that way, pick up the pant legs, not pick up their legs, pick up the pants up into their knees, right, kind of roll it up to the Vatanya. That doesn't work because the Pasuk says, Mido bad, Mido kemidaso, Shulu yachshav v'lo yosir. Because the clothing of the Kohanim had to fit them perfectly. Couldn't be too big or too small. So you can't pick them up, the legs of the pants of the Kohanim. That's what it says. You're right. We're talking about a case. When can they pick up their pants? When they're taking the evarim, the limbs, to on the ramp, which is not part of the avoda. Kohen says, "Velo, that's not part of the avoda." For the bai kuna avodahi. Well, a kohen has to do this, and any time a kohen has to do something, that's part of the avoda. The time here, like we learned the raisa, the kriva kohen has to call him mizbecha. Right, the kohen has to bring everything to mizbech. Zuh velechas evarim the keves. So that's part of the avoda. So Ella must be rather belechas etim la maracha. The case is where they're bringing wood to the maracha, to the mizbeach, right, to burn the fire, make sure the fire is burning. The lava avodahi. That's not an avoda. The Gemara says, well, okay, fine. That's fine. That's when you're telling me they can pick up their pants. But the blood is still there throughout all of the other things that they're doing in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Gemara asks, belechas evarim lekeves, belechas da'am mia hechi asli. So how do they do everything else? Right? Okay, great. I get it. When they're bringing the wood to the bath, they can pick up their pants to the knees. That's not an avoda. That's fine. But everything else, the blood is not disappearing. Everything else they do, bringing the blood, to sprinkle the blood, to bring the blood from the korban, to bring the evarim onto the ramp, onto the bath, bring the korban. How do they do that? So Gemara says, Demaske Aitztavi, because they used to walk on the Itztava. The Itztava was a platform that was a little bit off of the floor. If you look at Rashi, Itztavas Shabinyan Hayusham Vahare Hin Karitzba. They were a little bit off the floor. They used to have these platforms that the Kohanim used to walk on, and they had the same status as the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. For the life of me, I can't picture this. How you had the Beis HaMikdash, right? You had the Mizbeach, but then almost you had like platforms, almost like, you know, walk here, like a path for the Kohanim to walk over this raised platform. I cannot imagine that. I asked one of the Rebbeim who live in my building, and he said he's been going to a Zvachim Shir for 14 years. He remembered that they discussed it, but he doesn't remember what they said, how they depicted or illustrated this Itztava, this platform in the Beis HaMikdash where the Kohanim would walk on Erev Pesach. Okay, I mean, if you can imagine, they had some sort of pathway to make sure that the Kohanim wouldn't get their clothing dirty when they're doing all the other avoda. All right, fine. Ketzah told them, how would they, the Mishnah had said, how do they kind of flay the animal? Karavotzias emurav nesan b'megis laktiram. Right, he would kind of cut up, open the animal, take out all the stuff, and he would put it in a bowl, and he would be maktir the insides. So Gemara says, "Ato who gufay have a maktir lehu? Are you telling me that the Yisrael here would actually be maktir, would actually bring the emurim to the mizbeach?" So Gemara says, "No, emala haktira nagabe is mizbeach. No, it means that he's cutting out, open the animal to take out the insides in order to bring them on the mizbeach. Not that the guy himself, not that the Yisrael is doing this. Oh, that Yisrael cannot do, cannot bring the emurim to the mizbeach." Finally, the last line, that's the Katrishona. Tana, whoa, how the Brisa teaches us, the call echa v'echad no same pisco ba'oro umafshil achorov. That if you can imagine, everybody would take the korban pesach, the meat from the flayed animal, right? The skin of the animal, took the skins off, then you took the meat off, took the meat, or I guess what you took whatever's left. I guess you're right, you had to roast it whole, so I guess you weren't kind of chopping off pieces of meat. But if you, once you flayed it and you opened it up, so they would kind of like use the skin as a bag almost, and they would put the korban pesach inside of it, right? You put the korban pesach inside of its own skin and kind of throw it behind him. If you can imagine, like he's walking like I don't know, like Tom Sawyer with like a bag over his shoulder, right? So that's how they would do it. Amar Ravilish, Ravila says Tayos like Arab merchants, right? Rashi says Derech Sokarim Yishmaelim, who's a, that's the way the Arab merchants would carry their merchandise. So too, the Jews would carry the korban pesach. What in the world does that mean? Why would you even mention that? So Mustafa, right? Again, the Gemara is trying to point out that even though this was, I guess Arab merchants didn't have high stature back then. So it's saying even if a person has to do that to take care of the mitzvah, right? Again, that was the easiest way to transport it, I guess. A person shouldn't think that that's beneath him. A person's not, a person has to sling his korban over his shoulder just like a merchant. No, that's fine. That's not, it's not beneath you. That's how the way we do the mitzvah. That's how we get it home. That's the best way to do it. So don't feel bad. It's not inappropriate. Okay. Hadron alach tamid nishchat and mitzvah shem tomorrow. We'll go weiter and begin the sixth parak of Maseches Pesachim. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this. And just to point out one more thing, that this shir should be discussed again. I didn't say at the beginning, but again, this shir and all the shirim in Maseches Pesachim should be b'schus refu shleima for Nami Meira Bas Shoshana Rivka Reisel.